This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
We start the show on a Friday off really, really right. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Chris Myers from Fox, he'll be on the call coming up for Fox in the NFC title game. He joins us here on PTO. Chris, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Good, Matt. Good to be on with you.
Thanks for coming on. Before we talk about this weekend, has the adrenaline run off from what happened on Sunday with the miracle in Minnesota for you?
Well, no, you know, as a reporter, your goal is, when the game ends for the network broadcast, you want to get to the hero of the game as quickly as you can for the audience and interview him. And, of course, the game we thought it ended, including the Vikings. So I'm like, get out there and get Case Keenum. And we saw zero on the clock. And actually, our producer said, wait a minute, they have one more snap. He's telling me in my ear. I actually got to Case Keenum. We taped an interview in between the snap. He didn't know that he had to go back out there and snap the ball one more time. And then we went back out and interviewed him live. But the noise, the euphoria for the way that game ended, I happened to be down on that sideline right where Diggs caught the ball. And so I didn't really see where the ball came from when Keenum threw it, but the fact that he didn't get out of bounds, I thought, oh, this is over, and then he dances into the end zone. It really was incredible. Heartbreak for the Saints, but the Vikings hung in there and had a little magic there at Minnesota, and I've never seen a game end like that where when that final snap to make it official, the untimed down and in regulation, there were half the bench of the Vikings was filled with writers and reporters and media members, and the Saints only had, I think, 15 players on their bench or 11 on the field and 4 on the bench. So it was a very unusual finish, but one of the most exciting moments I've ever been a part of as a broadcaster, somebody covering things. And I was on the Super Bowl field with Tom Brady after the greatest comeback ever. Just last year against the Atlanta Falcons. So that's what makes the game great. You can prepare and all that, and at the end it brings out the kid and the fan and all of us.
Take us behind the scenes a little bit for your producers as they're getting ready for the post game, and you and Aaron Andrews, your coworker, are trying to figure out who's going to interview whom. What happens when the script is flipped like that? Is that a nightmare for your producers?
Yeah, well, and for us, because we think you're going one way to ask a question, and you only have limited time, 2 or 3 questions. We don't have all day once the game ends, or they're in a rush to get to the locker room, and you want to get your comments in. For example, right now I'm headed over to Eagles practice here in Philadelphia at the stadium, and Aaron will be on the Vikings sideline this Sunday. I'll be on the Eagles sideline, and Fox does it this way so that we don't miss anything, and we're blanketing that sideline. So even if we're not on the air reporting, in a commercial break, we might be relaying to Joe Buck or Troy Aikman, hey, this is going on, that's going on. But towards the end of the game, the goal is, interview somebody from the winning team right away. We can usually get to the losing team locker room and tape something. So you're preparing maybe 1 or 2 questions based on how the game is going. So at first, for me, last week, I'm thinking, wow, the Vikings have this under control. Then the Saints take the lead, so Aaron's probably going to talk to Drew Brees when the game ends. And then I'm thinking, okay, I don't, with 10 seconds left and no timeouts where they were, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be doing the loser locker room kind of thing. And so your mind shifts quickly. So you can't sit back and watch as a fan. You're almost always processing who's going to win and then what will people want to hear about. And it's interesting, Matt, when you have a play like that, even when you ask Case Keenum or Diggs the very first question, their answer usually isn't about the specific play. It's more the excitement of the moment and, wow, we got in. And neither one of them really could describe, at least immediately afterwards, what the play was or how it transpired, just that they were going on to the championship game. They were that excited.
Chris Myers of Fox is our guest. Just one more on that. How loud was it inside that arena when that play happened? I mean, you've been around a lot of games. What was the environment like?
Yeah, I cover NASCAR, and so the noise, I wear a headset, the earpiece, so I can hear our producer and listen to the game broadcast. And I know we were over 120 decibels, so that is ear-splitting noise, no matter what, whether it's a crowd or a jet engine or a rock concert standing right next to the band. And I can honestly say, in doing this for a lot of years, and I've been in the New Orleans Superdome and in Seattle and in Kansas City and in playoff games, and that is the loudest. And especially, it was a steady loud noise because the Vikings had the lead so early in the game, and there was a dip of silence there, obviously, when the Saints took that late lead. But it was the loudest, I can honestly say, the loudest pro football stadium that I've ever been in. And I think it really contributed to the Vikings being able to pull it off. I know Drew Brees talked about that after that it got in the way.
Yeah. Chris, you're in Philadelphia. What's the mood with the Eagles here? They don't have Carson Wentz, clearly. They got Nick Foles. They're underdogs at home, but they played the whole year for this game to be at home in the NFC Championship game. What's the mood in Philly right now heading into Sunday?
Yeah, well, I'll get more once we sit down and talk to Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. I got to call some of their games during the course of the year when Wentz was their guy, and it did change the entire dynamic of the offense, which was the top-scoring team at the time. They still finished in the top three behind the Rams and New England, and this is the best defense they'll face. But I think the Eagle defense, if you look at the numbers, it's similar to Minnesota's. They're a little bit behind in a lot of categories. So I think the vibe and the mood I've received so far is that they're really playing up, and this is something Doug Peterson, think about this. He was a career backup his whole life as a quarterback, and here he's dealing with a backup, and he's playing up the underdog just like the players are. We're a number one seed. We're at home. We won our division, and yet we're underdogs in back-to-back weeks. So that can drive a team and push a team maybe to a certain level, but it still comes down to who makes the plays on Sunday. And that's where I think both teams are going to have trouble scoring, and I think Philadelphia's defense can go toe-to-toe, especially being at home and outdoors. And this field, by the way, I'm going to get a better look. You saw last week, it's a little bit torn up, so visiting teams, Atlanta had a problem. I think some of the speedy receivers of the Vikings might have a problem. So that might even things out in terms of who's favored.
I like that you guys have the late game, and I like it for the Eagles to be the late game with the link in that crowd. Would you agree?
Yeah, except I'll be freezing. I'm a warm weather guy, and I saw, well, they said the weather's going to be nice during the daytime 50s, but it'll be down to 30. At night, and the sun sets about 5:15, 5:30, and we don't kick off here till like 6:40. So, but yes, from an Eagles standpoint, late prime time under the lights, I think the turf that we talked about, the natural grass, and Case Keenum doesn't have the strongest arm, and if I don't know that it's going to be windy, but I just think those aren't favorable conditions. And there's a great note about dome teams in championship games. So dome stadium home, teams that call their home stadium a dome, when they play in the championship, conference championship game, they have a record of 0-12 in the 51 years of the Super Bowl. So that's something the Vikings are up against.
Interesting. I know you're going to run, but I got one quick question about Tom Brady's hand. I know you're not covering the game, but you've been around the NFL for a long time. Are you buying this Brady injury, or is this a Patriot Bill Belichick smokescreen?
Yeah, I'm not. No, I think he'll be fine. And if he really was hurt, we probably wouldn't know about it. I mean, they probably wouldn't tell us. So if it's a minor injury, I'm a Brady fan. He does everything the best way he can to be prepared. The guy's averaged in his last three postseason games. I think he's averaging 50 or 52 attempts a game, and he's had success the way he brought the team back in the Super Bowl. So I'm not buying it all. I do think, however, and I was on the field for the Giants beating of the Patriots. After their perfect season was ruined, that pass rush of the Giants, that style of defense, and I know Tom Coughlin is in the building, but I think Jacksonville has that ability on defense to do that to Brady and this Patriot team. It's just what Jacksonville does on offense. So Brady will show up. He'll be fine. It's just can Jacksonville's defense hit him enough to keep him from outscoring what the Jags put up offensively.
Chris, thank you for the time today. Really appreciate it. Have a great call on Sunday. We'll all be watching.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
That is Chris Myers from Fox. He'll be on the call on the sidelines of the late game, the Fox game, which is the Eagles hosting the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. And look, I think he's right. I think he's reading it right. It's how I'm reading the game. I'll give you my PTO picks later on in the program. I am going along the lines, as a lot of people here in Vegas who are falling in love with teasing these games, because the lines are kind of squirrely. The Patriot line continues to drop. The Eagles line continues to drop. It is interesting when you look at this from a sharp versus square perspective. I know it's kind of a square play to tease these games, but you tease the Patriots down to 1.5. Woo. You tease the Eagles up to 9 plus 9. I will not totally give away my picks coming up in this edition of PTO, but give you a little bit of a taste there. So, Chris Myers started us off. We'll get to the hard four in the next segment, and the opening line kind of bumped everything back one segment. Our four big stories hits you next. SB Nation Radio.